What an odd thing life is. We're here. Well, not sure if we're here, but it's here. It's always appearing. The carpet's appearing, the wall's appearing. You wake up in the morning and there's the roof and the partner, if you've got a partner, and the bed cover. So familiar, the bed cover, the pillow, the bed sheet, the window, the light. It's all appearing. We have names for it, but it's nameless, really. It's all mystery as to what it is. And then we look in the mirror and there's the body again. And then the heart beating and the breathing, the sensations. And we don't know why. We don't know why that's happening. And so, well, not all of us, but some of us go on an adventure to find out why. Some people are satisfied with buying and growing and having kids. And normally I think it is when my watch speaks and they go, me, me, me. normally I think it is when we suffer or we really lost something. So either the flow of life delivers us something really sad, or we just suffer for no reason. Sometimes it's when we get everything that we wanted, we begin to ask why. You know, we get the house, we get the kids, we get the lifestyle that everyone's told us will do it. And then we're like, doesn't do it. Why? Why? What is this? That was meant to be it. I don't even know what it is, but it was meant to be it. But for some reason, some body mind mechanisms begin to question it. And the really funny thing is you can never get to the bottom of the questioning. Like, you can never understand this. Ever. What could we possibly understand about this? Why does it happen? Why is this appearing? It seems like just such a simple, innocent, basic question. Why is this appearing? Why? Especially the gruesome stuff. We don't say, or the sad thing, we don't say why so much to pleasurable sensations, but why? Why does the kid have to die? Or why does this person have to cry? And through this seemingly past, this path of waking up, although it's seemingly because we eventually realize that we're not sure if this ever happened, we begin to question everything. We begin to question what we think we know. And the main thing that we think we know is that we exist separately from everything else. And that we are independent entities that are choosing to exist or choosing to be. And the funny thing is, it's not the actual experience that somebody's here. Somebody is separate from everything else. The actual experience is one movement happening, one flow happening. The actual experience is absolute emptiness on one side. So even on one side, but there's this absolute emptiness and these things are happening, but there's nobody that's actually experiencing them. That's the actual experience, but the energy focuses so much on the description, it takes the description to be the reality. These words pop up and say, that's somebody over there. They're a bad person, they shouldn't have done it. And that, in this silence, is what the attention goes on to. It's just like if there was a bird flying around the room, most probably the bird would be a focus. It's just this focus. And then it's like, it seems to be like a momentum that gets going, although this is a bit of a story, an energy of the momentum that gets going and focusing just on the description of what's happening. And then it feels like an energy inside of the body. And that you are this energy inside the body looking at the world. And that's taken as the truth, what I describe. But it's not even known as what I describe. When I did a talk at my mum's a carer, and she runs a carers group in England. And they invited me to give a talk. which wasn't the most successful thing. and I was fascinated because they didn't even realise they thought. And I'd forgotten that when it's happening and when there's no, that it's happening so immediately, these thoughts, that it actually feels like who you are. It really, so they didn't even have a sense that they were thinking. Isn't that, they could see that they thought when they're doing a maths equation, or when they've got to work out the train, but they didn't realise that their feelings and the description of that person has annoyed me. They didn't perceive that as a thought, they perceived that as actuality. That was just the way it was, and that's who I am, someone that's annoyed. And they didn't see it as something that was, and it was kind of funny because we got really confused, because I kept saying that's just a thought, and they're like, what do you mean it's just a thought? That's the way it is. that's me. That's who I am. And they tended to be in older bodies, so they'd had that mentality for such a long time, it seems. And we even begin to believe the whole story of everything I've said just now. Like, we even begin to believe the liberation story. And that too is just thoughts appearing. There's only one thing, which isn't a thing, that is constant. And it's not, I'm not going to say awareness or consciousness, even though I do say that sometimes, just for communication. I say aliveness and beingness, but again, that's a bit of a copy of Tony Parr. TP, I'm sure everyone knows.
TP.
TP. I mean, that seems a better word than consciousness and awareness and all these ones, but again, even that's what it is. One thing that's for sure, and remember that sure is just a word again, is it's a happening, and it's not happening also, like it's empty happening, but there is this maybe. Even that's a bit of a copy of other speakers. But this, but we can't name it. As soon as I've even said this, there is something seemingly appearing. And we can't even really distinguish. There can't be distinguishing in this, only in words. I mean, actually, there's no distinguishing right here, right now, that there is just this, and we can't find the beginning and the end to anything. Anything. To this, to other objects, to the wall, to anything. But words can come in and seemingly describe things, and this is where the getting lost has happened. They're just words, but they've become so real, it's like an energy. Me, world. subject object, me experiencing, them, my body. And it does seem to be that this body is used to experience what's happening, but what's happening isn't separate from this body. In order for this body to experience, it needs all the other things. It's not like this is the main thing. If there weren't all this other stuff happening, this body wouldn't experience. So in a dream at night, often you dream through a body, you're watching the dream through a body. You need all the other parts of the dream to experience it. Even though it seems like the body's the main character, it really isn't. It's just a part, it's just a way of experiencing it, or it appearing. Unless you're the air, then even if you describe the air, that would soon become an object. The air is the main thing. Oh, I lost one already. This is terrible. All of us are dropping like flies. All these new clothes, this leaves again. Terrible. And then I should have woke and just said it was energetic. I'm dissolving the energy of the room. What an amazing, amazing appearance all of this is. And we're never going to, what you're looking for is never going to be an answer. What you're looking for is never going to be found. You're not going to understand this. You're not going to suddenly have a moment of like, got it. What's going to happen is all these ideas which you took to be a reality, and it's not even you taking them, all these ideas which were appearing as you and the world begin to get crumbled. Life begins to play the game of deconstruction. But what a weird thing. What a weird thing that it constructed a false interpretation of what's happening, and then it deconstructed it. It's got nothing to do with you, because you is part of the construction. You are not coming here. Coming here is happening. We're not even positive that you care, that the body actually came here and existed prior. We think it was, but for the dog it didn't exist prior. It just is. There's nothing wrong with thinking and the ability to think. It's a beautiful thing that the human has, a beautiful functioning that appears in the human, just like the fish can swim and the monkey can climb, the human can think. You missed it all. I'm just about to finish it now.
So,
what? The introduction, I spoke. Take an answer, wrap it up.
What a happy day.
This description, this thinking, isn't a reality. It's a functioning for the human. It's just a functioning. It's like the monkey taking climbing or the fish taking swimming as a truth. It's just a functioning appearing in the human. It's not an actuality. So bad and good and right and wrong and me and you, and saving and unsaved, and liberated and not liberated, and meing and no meing, and what other words do we have? Light and dark, none of them are actualities. None of them are truth. They're just a functioning. for humans to communicate and improve society. Even that, say, putting it in limited words again. Improve, evolve. I'm sure 200 or 300 or 400 years ago we didn't have evolve, the word evolve. And then I would come along and be like, we're evolving. I remember when somebody was telling me, oh yeah, that was my mom, this was really funny. When she was a kid, in the 40s, they hadn't invented healthy eating. And she was plumpy. And she didn't realise that she was plumpy because she ate fatty foods, because they didn't have this concept. She was just plumpy because that was the way it was. That was that. And they didn't have the idea, I don't think they had a strong idea that it was better or worse, or like it was just, the body was plumpy. It wasn't even like a thing. And then, when she was in the 60s, they invented Weight Watchers.
I remember, that's how it started.
And my mum and my gran, who both were plumpy, they came from working class background, and they liked the, like in England, it was, you cooked a lot with lard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that translation, lard's like
bacon.
It's like the fat, I think, from the meat.
Yeah.
So everything had lard on it. And before they went to bed, they had cheese and crackers. And then they went to Weight Watchers and they learned this whole new thing. And Mum said she was just, you know, like blown away by the idea that they'd be eating unhealthily. It was just suddenly invented, unhealthy eating. It really made me laugh. We get so involved with what we think we know. I mean, science is beginning to show us now, and I don't know much about science, but it's beginning to show us so many spectacular things, making us realise that we really don't know. Like some theories in science say that things to exist need to be looked at. They're beginning to experience that everything's empty. I mean, like. Well, that's a surprise. They're beginning to explain really well how things are related to each other, how one thing turns into another, but they don't know why it exists in the first place. It's like a big bang millions of years ago. And then they also say, well, time doesn't exist. But they're like a big bang that's going outwards millions of years ago. So in my very limited language, I will say that the purpose of all of this, everything, and this is really limited, is just to be. And although we think we need to know why we suffer or why the world is the way it is, but the fact that terrible things happen to some body mind mechanisms, or the fact that this body will die, the birth is seemingly happening. Actually, all that was ever wanted was to be. Just like everything else is, everything except the human is just being. The dogs, the birds, the bag, the carpet. I mean, it's very limited words saying it. You know, the wall, the chair, the water. It's just being. It's just appearing. And that was all the purpose of the human was as well, except we just got confused with I must have meaning, I must have a purpose in this. And we got lost in this mental, it's an energetical thing of me, my meaning, and the world. And really, it was just all about being. And you'll never sort it out and organize it all. It's quite like, you'll never get to the bottom of organizing this, making it neat and tidy. It's just a happening. And it's messy and beautiful and neat and ugly and all the different words we find. It's quite scary, this message, because for the human that thinks that it's something, the idea that it will die with no meaning is scary. The body will just vanish. It's vanishing now, though, too. Without any meaning. It's okay to vanish. The mind thinks that it's got to be something. It's move and be an activity and do something. It can't not be anything. It must be something. sometimes I think maybe that because this is such a negative way of speaking, and sometimes it's a little bit scary. Just the, I don't know how, and sometimes it's or funny. But sometimes I've noticed it's a little bit full on as well. Like full on is like full throttle, it's a bit. Especially the meaning thing. The meaning thing's hard. Not to have any meaning. That's really taking everything away. Not to be meaningful. Am I not meaningful to you? Am I not meaningful in this? Do I have no purpose? Our society is all conditioned on meaning, our relationships. Tell me I mean something to you, that I am something to you. That's our sense of love. The greatest thing that we write all our poems and music about, meaning something to each other. Oh, what agony that can be. Tell me that I mean something. Tell me. Oh, poor human. And then the bird and the dog is just doing this thing. Tweet, 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 tweet. It's got to have 10 or 20 babies in the next 2 years. If it goes with the twigs back and forwards, and lays the egg, and then back and forwards with the worms, and the poor worms got to be food for the babies. But it doesn't notice, it's just being, it's just doing. All that energy, it's just a theory.
If you say yes to that, I think remember if you said it, if I've imagined it, that it was natural in talks like this that afterwards we get nightmares at night.
No.
Well, you didn't say that.
No.
Oh, that's all imagination.
I didn't say it was natural, I just said it used to happen here as well. It was
So it can happen.
Well, yeah. Again, like, just like anything,
though.
Yeah. Like,
but no meaning.
No, I mean, there's no meaning in anything. The thing that I used to find with dreams was that I found that in dreams, I got to experience all roles. Like, the role of Lisa, it wasn't always Lisa I was dreaming about. This was a nice thing.
Because what you said about the murderer is it was not at all an intellectual thing. Mm-hmm. It was really that you felt it completely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew that I had to murder. And then it, for some reason, unlocked an arrogance in Lisa that thought she knew she was better than murderer. I thought that she could choose in some way not to be a murderer. Which isn't true. If the programming is to murder, that's the programming.
This thing about the programming?
I mean, programming is just made up since the 60s, I think, since computers came in. Mm. So it's a load of nonsense, that word. Is it a convenient one for this sort of thing? Mm-hmm. It's just the movement and the energy of that particular form.
As you say, how new words appear, no? Yesterday I was talking to this young lady, and I asked, we talked about jobs and what she was doing, and she teaches in kindergarten till the age of 10 how to eat healthily and to brush your teeth properly. And imagine your mum. I mean, she discovers Weight Watchers in the 60s, eh? So everything is just so relative.
Yeah.
I love that there is no meaning. For me it's not horrifying. For me it's relaxing and it feels so free that there is no meaning.
Yeah.
It's so, ah.
Yeah, I find that as well.
Yeah.
I find it's really, it's the same here. Mm. For some, where there's still that strong energy of that desire to be something, that can be really scary, because then what would you be if it's not got any meaning? When you are thinking of who you'd like to be, you have an idea of what means something. So whether it's art or money or saving animals or saving humans. And then if you get the concept that nothing has any meaning, then it really questions who you are presenting. It's not you, but who's being presented and the importance of that person. It's also hilariously funny the fact that nothing has any meaning. It's so funny.
Some people tell it's just a play of life. You would also say like this?
What meaning?
Yeah, all life is just play. It's just playing to have this experience which is happening there.
It's just expressing it.
Yes.
But for no reason, it's not like this future's got heaven coming or that in the future you've got to get somewhere. It's just playing for play or appearing for appearance sake. Innocently, it's not got a destination, it's just appearing. We can easily get into the destination of liberation or liberating the world and it's just appearing now spontaneously. That's the freedom, the appearance now, not the appearance that I think I'm going to. Whether or not that this equals that is irrelevant, or what's going to happen.
You would also say there are no cause and effect at all?
No, there isn't cause and effect, but in the human communication, which is relevant, and I don't mean to dismiss all the thinking has its role, then in human communication, the language is very much set up around cause and effect, and it's got its relevance in that. So I'm going to book my train ticket. I've booked it, so now you can book your train ticket. All of it's set up in the language of cause and effect. But ultimately, no, it's one movement happening. There's nothing that's separate. You'll never find the beginning. It's so beautiful. You'll never find the beginning of anything, ever. You can never say, this is where this starts, and this is the effect of that. Everything's related. It takes this movement for this movement for this movement for this movement. You'll never, ever find the beginning and start. It's all made of nothing. No thing. But in the communication to the human, the idea of cause and effect is very relevant. So in the stories that we use to communicate and for fun and, oh, I did this for this, and then there's cause and effect, but that's just part of the human communication. It's not an absolute. And then also, if you just come back down to the experience right now, it's obvious there's no cause and effect. It's only in that thought land. The experience is empty of all of that. It's just the happening.
But it's also true that way I find it with other things. Since yesterday when you were on that, I don't know how you call that machine, you were three or four, the machine which was turning like this, and you were two kids. And I find that people I used to know 10 years ago, let's say, and now, they look so much more like children. I think all this playing stuff even changes us physically. I mean, we do things that we didn't do before. We
maybe the body becomes more childlike.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, the body becomes more childlike. That's what,
yeah, they must have looked funny watching from the outside. All those empty seats are being moved.
can we speak about proof, kind of like, I mean, there's no meaning, but
is that proof?
I mean, for me, that's proof. I mean,
what?
If I jump into the Danube,
in the what?
Into the Danube.
The sea.
Danube, beautiful river.
The Danube.
And I jump in, and I feel the water, and it's like there's no question. What is the meaning of life again?
It's just happening. Yeah.
And even now, like there's no, everything is nice. We go to the bakery and make a small talk with a certain person. There's no question.
There's no world, it's just that. And then when you eat the cake, there's no world, it's just that.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, like, the pointer is proof.
Right, proof.
It's kind of a proof. I mean, what is the meaning? I mean, proof. This is already the proof. It's just, it's just a mind thing to it. But, yeah.
But there's also no proof, but I understand how you see that as proof.
Or like a feedback. I mean, you get the feedback. I mean, this is it. I mean, I know it for myself that when you're like looking for meaning and looking for who am I, like that I was, then you don't get this feedback, you don't get this proof, because you're always thinking like
something else.
It must be better, or it must be.
Yeah, and you're always looking for in that mental reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to stay in awareness, not that, I don't mean to sound like I'm criticizing any other speaker, it's way more complicated than anything we can say, but it does stay in a very mental reality of what, of something better, and that you exist, and that you have meaning, and that you've got a destination. I love it when I hear someone, it sounds so cold, but I love it personally, you know what that means, but when I hear other speakers speak, and I don't know if you hear me, so, but I hear other speakers speak, and somebody with really strong mental activity, and then the speaker just replies, "That's what's happening," or something like that. I find it such a compassionate answer, rather than telling them how to get out of it. It doesn't seem like it from a mental, like mentally, it would sound like the compassionate answer is giving them some hope that they can get out of it, and saying, "If you sit in awareness for the next, or if you do this practice, then." This, or you'll get there. It's so compassionate when someone says, that's what's happening. It's not always energetically a nice experience in the room when somebody's really suffering and that's the reply. Like sometimes I've had people crying their eyes out after that reply. How can that just be what's happening?
What frustration?
Yeah, and frustration.
What anger. Frustration?
Yeah. And anger it can bring up as well. Like this energy that wants to move forward and get out of something. Well, what else is nice? Because that activity, looking, and then to hear something shocking like that's what's happening, or it will last until it lasts. The mind. Will stop when it stops.
Would you say that this conviction, strong conviction of a me, would you say that this is a kind of mental energy expressing itself?
I don't know what it is. It definitely is an energy, mostly, like it's a feeling. But it's, I think it's originally come from a mental state. Some scientists say that it's possible to even see the brain activity of someone taking life personally, like it's there's an activity happening in the brain. I know that it feels like you are here, and it feels like a solid, and it feels like when you're coming across somebody that has different belief systems or different views to you, it feels like you're almost hitting them. Like a physical pain happens when someone challenges what you think you know or have, or when you lose something. It really physically hurts. And it feels kind of limited. Yeah. I don't really understand how it works at all. So I like the idea that somebody can scan the brain and you can see when there's a personal activity happening in the brain. I like that idea.
Yeah.
It makes it very unspiritual. It's just like something that appears in the human.
The mice in this running game, which you watch yesterday. On the video.
What I learned particularly about that is the way that they're so programmed to go round and round. Even when the other one falls, it's just like, whoop, and jumps over it and keeps on going. I wonder what the activity of their Russian hamsters is. It must be, because I've noticed ferrets, all the different animals, ferrets seem to have a programming of taking things.
What are ferrets?
They're what, in England, they used to use, I think, as ratters. They used to put them down holes, I think.
Ah, furet, ça y
est.
Yeah.
And so their activity, if you leave things out, the ferret just takes it somewhere else. So the Russian hamster, why would it want to keep running around that? It must just be running a lot of the time. Run! Run! We're gonna run! And so when it's given a ball, it just does this activity. Just like the human with money, it's like if we had like money in front of us, we're all of us, even here in this room, we're actually like, and it's moving further and further away.
The same thing. They are just running because of running.
Yeah.
We are searching.
Because we're searching.
Trying to hunt the target, whatever the target is. And it's the same thing.
It is exactly the same programming, but because of the ability to think, it's gone into this energy of personal.
Sophisticated.
Yeah. As though it's you, whereas the hamster doesn't have that ability to comprehend any of it. Like, not that we can really comprehend any of it, but it doesn't comprehend. But it is exactly the same, and we've just gone over the top with this energy of looking. Like, the Buddha body is naturally meant to look for food and survive. And then suddenly it's become a personal thing. And then it's become, who can survive the best? Am I better than everyone else? And it's become it's just a natural activity that's got personalized. The body's always afterwards in a seek for survival, a move to survival. So funny. I love watching animals because they're hilarious in their programming. They're so obvious. I think I was telling you the other day about my mum's dog. How if you face my mum's dog to the front door, she barks forever. It's just like woof, woof. And then about a year ago, I discovered if you turn her to face the other way, she just stops. Then you face her back again, woof. And my mum's like, she's such a bad dog. She always does this. Why does she always do this? And you just have to move the body then. It's just her body's programmed to bark at the door when people come through. But we like it as well. We just think we're more profound and we have meaning to it. I'm protecting my big kingdom. Dog says, woof, woof.
We're barking when they challenge our opinions, then we're barking.
Yeah. Yeah, the kingdom of opinions.
Last week, I experienced how strong the knee energy can be. I had an osteopathy treatment, and I lay there and was treated, and then suddenly all dissolved. There was no material at all. It was all like swinging. Everything was swinging.
Everything was what?
Swinging, or like... There was no firm material. It was only like waves, like... All was dissolving, and there was no body, nothing more, and suddenly the knee came back and it was frightened to death.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised, and I thought, oh, I visit so often these sort of talks, and I know the swapping between meaning and being, and still the mean energy is so strong.
It can be very scary after, and it's so, it can even be known, like this, like intellectually understood completely this, of what's happening, that it dissolves.
Mm-hmm.
But that emptiness, that absolute, some people call it, describe it as a silence, or this emptiness of, I don't know, or how to say more than that, that can be terrifying to that energy that's, even me saying this, that's in sense or something, that's in knowing where it's going. It's very scary. Even you can know that so well intellectually. That's often what I say when people say, if I have an awakening, I sometimes ask them if it was a little scary. Because it comes back. It's not like you imagine it at all. The person imagines it to be... Something it knows, at least. And then the fear goes and is drinking tea. Putting our earrings on, the mundane. And then looking at the earrings, oops, which ones? It's amazing the way it all appears. And the scarf, oh, it's the scarf matter. And the shoes. So silly. For no reason.
Does it happen for you sometimes that material things seems to lose its form, its firm forms?
I do have many funky experiences still, like experiences that come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have something where, this is somewhere where I don't always know what other speakers are speaking about. I sometimes have it where it seems like it's impossible for the body to function. But then it does. Like it feels so empty and so gone, the world, that it feels like an impossibility that the world functions. And then something happens and then more of an ability appears to... It was happening a bit yesterday, the lack of ability to function. There's all these faces and I was like... I couldn't even really register that was happening. It's many different experiences. But they all come and go, in a way. Like all these different funky... The world's coming and appearing and the blisses. Or it's always moving, just like everything else.
But there is no fear coming with that?
Sometimes the body... has still the sensation of physical death,
mm-hmm.
and the heart starts to pound fast, and then it feels like the body physically dies, and then there's awakeness again, and I'm like, oh, we're here again. It might be that there's been a blackout or something. I don't know what's happened. And sometimes it produces the sensation of fear, but there's not anybody that really cares. I don't really give a toss too much about there's not someone that's really caring about what's happening. Apparently, that's a side effect of Lyme disease. Lyme disease is what you get from ticks. So it's another friend that's that. I think there's a possibility this body might have Lyme disease.
Can you repeat this word?
Lyme disease.
Lyme disease.
It's made me laugh, because apparently a lot of people that have woken up have had Lyme disease. Isn't that really weird? So now we're going to sit there with ticks. I shouldn't even say this. I lived in the forest for 4 years with ticks, and I'm like, oh yeah, it was Roger, and his non-duality, it was a freaking tick. Who wouldn't know?
Yeah.
I don't get it. What is that, Lyme disease, and what is ticks?
Oh, ticks are these animals that put their head in your body.
Oh,
and then they drink your blood and they fat bump.
I'm full of this since 2 days. And Lyme disease, what is that?
Lyme disease is a bacteria, I think, they give you.
Okay.
And then you die with it, or you get skewered, or?
I don't know, I didn't even look it up.
Okay.
They just told me.
Don't look it up.
But I had thousands of ticks.
Oh, well.
Like in where I live in the forest in Australia, and they were just always falling on you and be like, oh.
Uh-huh.
And this Lyme disease, this is a brain thing?
I think it does affect the brain, yes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sitting here teaching non-duality, and I might all because of this.
What a big joke. Everybody's believing you.
It's just a coincidence I learned non-duality. Well, getting bitten by the tick.
This is the worst thing to do.
Oh, she's actually got bacteria infection.
Oh, oh fuck, let's start again.
It really made me laugh when my friend told me. He also has it. I remember Tony once saying, giving the answer when somebody was telling him about an awakening, and then there was a silence, and Tony went, it might be an indigestion or something. And it was so funny. I really can get this, yeah. Might have been indigestion. Might have been what happened to Ramanam as well. He just had a tick in India.
have a question here?
Yeah.
When I listen to you all this, many things become irrelevant, like politics, or even the justice system, right? And the money anyways. So it's like, for me it's pure anarchy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
When I first...
That's nice, because it is the importance that we put on things that creates the suffering of that person. So it's nice that it's becoming less important. It sounds really negative in society.
Yeah. Yeah, but when I first heard it, I thought, like, why is it not forbidden? Kind of like, well,
yeah.
Like, now I'm asking myself, do you ever have contact with anybody, like, maybe in England or something, that people tell you, can you please stop being so radical?
No. So, I mean, sometimes we abuse, but mostly from invited people. Okay. But, like, you're saying it wrong. It's like Christianity, all the different groups. You say it wrong. But not from outside of that. I think they would listen, and they would be like, and they wouldn't even know what's been talked about. They wouldn't even grasp it. Just like that carers group that I went to, that hadn't even been a questioning of them thinking. They didn't even know they thought. So I think they would listen to this. Like my relatives sometimes say, I just don't know what you're talking about. And I'm going to get, like, it might just be, like, sounding like sounds to them. They can't even get it.
But do people become angry sometimes?
My relatives?
No, people, when they listen to you.
Only advisor people.
Only advisor?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not other people, I really think that it makes no sense. It mostly becomes just like sounds.
Yeah.
They can't put any meaning to it.
Mm.
And because I never really do... I'm always like,
and then you don't start arguing with you or?
No, only invited people. So the only argument and abuse I really get is people saying that I'm saying it wrong and this is the right way to say it.
Yeah.
You're deluding people, this sort of thing. So it's only that other, I think the rest of society are just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't bring it, they can't, they don't even, it's like when you go and listen to a scientist that's talking about something really complicated in science.
You don't understand anything.
So I think that's what happens in most of the system.
Mm.
It's funny though that the abuse I get is from people in advisor. That's where the argument lies. Is she speaking correctly?
Can you say something about identification? Because I was asking myself, how do all those concepts, whichever, whatever, how did they come into my life? Because when I was, as far as I remember, when I was young, there were no concepts, or not much.
Mm-hmm.
And then first time somebody tells me, this is a grown-up, this is a chimpanzee, this is a whatever. And then, I'm sure I didn't believe it at the first moment. But then I was interested. What did they say? What did? And then there's some interest, and then I start by identifying. Oh, what is it? And then I identify with it, and then the conditioning of perpetual identification with this thing after 40 years, for example, now makes me believe this is
true.
This is a trigger. This is a door.
I know. I don't understand what this personal energy is. The ultimate answer to your question is it's a result of everything which has ever happened, which is nothing. It's a result of nothing. That's a really crazy answer though. But other people explain it different ways, but I don't know how they know. Scientists say that it's something that gets activated in the brain and it's a programming that humans have to have. This personal self, and it's something that's actually activated in the brain, and then from that activation, it takes things personally, and it begins to learn more and more to take things personally. Some people say it's an energy that starts, but they don't know why it starts. I really don't know. It just seems to start, but it seems a logical thing that it was a way of human surviving. But again, that's just, we don't know.
Because the message for me sounds like, hey, you have a lot of concepts. Are you sure they are true? I'm sorry, they're not true. So it sounds like that for me. And this is like a bombardment of my ego, of course.
Yeah.
Of everybody's ego.
Yeah. Because who would you be if you didn't know things? You wouldn't be able to argue with people. You wouldn't know where you were in relation to other people. You wouldn't know where you were if you didn't know things.
Even to survive, I needed that kind of...
No, actually, the personal identity, I think, comes after the impulses to survive. But I'm not sure about that. The personal identity is claiming it and interpreting it. The impulses are prior, an electrical thing, I think, happening in the body prior. Because this body still survives, it still survives, and there could be, and you, if it's happening there when you're riding your bike, you tell yourself the story, it's because I've been trained and I've trained myself, or...
Only the surface.
Yeah. And the body heart beats without you doing anything, and blood pumps and the lungs breathe, the brain goes, thinks. I think it's more of an after thing, this suffering energy. It's happening so quickly. Scientists have begun to discover that the activity of choice is happening up to 6 seconds prior to the thought of you choosing. So the thought of you saying, should I choose the apple juice or orange juice? Or I'm going to choose the apple juice 6 seconds before the body already knows what it's going to choose. Isn't that amazing? And then it has a conversation with itself. Apple juice or orange juice? Oh, let's take the apple juice and be healthier. Or no, Coke and apple juice. Let's take the apple juice and be healthier. The body already knows who it's taking. The body's already instructed. From who? That's the question. Who instructed the body? Who instructed the brain? Amazing. Why it appears in the human, I assume it's to do with complicated thinking. The fact that we've got a bigger brain than all the rest. I don't know, though. Amazing how much words can be spouted out of someone that always comes back to, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It does seem to feel uncomfortable, it does seem to feel uncomfortable when you think it's you choosing, rather than it's just choice happening. Sorry, Paul.
I had a funny thing with my daughter again today.
Yeah.
And she was running around, oh, I'm so down.
Because she said what?
I'm so down.
She was saying this.
Yes, yes. But very funny.
Yeah.
Because my wife always speaks like this. Oh, I'm so and there was absolutely no meaning in it.
Yeah.
Just
repeating it. Yeah.
And I think afterwards, 2-3 years, she thinks she's
down. Yeah. Most of you say happened with your wife, isn't
that? It was a funny thing because I remembered when I was a child, there was a place that was called, it was in slang, but it was called the Free Banks to Sit.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And, I know this word. It was a place, yes. And suddenly, when I was about 5 or 6, 1, 2, 3. Okay. It was only a word.
Yeah.
And, or there was the green house. Yeah. And you can go there and buy sweets. Yes. It was the green house. It was a word. And then I was standing there. House green.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It was only a word.
Yeah.
And it's the same with my child, with my daughter.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm so down.
Yeah.
But without meaning.
Yeah.
And she, my wife told me then, because we spoke about it, when I'm not at home and she's going to the toilet, she says, and my wife asked her, why do you do this? And Papa always says this. Absolutely no meaning.
Now we know everything about your behavior.
Yes.
I never done a vipassana.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I did it all. I look like I'm only 34.
Oh, yeah.
In the body of a 90-year-old, if I'm life alone. Looks young.
I just thought about it because, like, if you like sit down 10 days
in
a vipassana course, and afterwards you do just regular stuff.
You're like,
whoa! Yeah. And somehow it feels like this could be, it's just mind game again.
Yeah.
Explanation for why does the mind suddenly start like claiming this is all my creation? And afterwards it drops away and then everything is fine again. So it's just like diving 10 meters and then coming back to the surface, or like, I don't know, just contracting and then opening.
Yeah, that's what the whole of life seems to be doing. I mean, like, everything grows and opens and then...
Pulse. Do you have anything to share about Vipassana?
Just that it doesn't work. Nothing works. Even if it's as hopeless as that, as this. But if it happens, it was never you choosing to do it. But it's never going to get you anywhere. It's never going to get anyone there. Anywhere. The only thing we have is this. This. Not even us having it. This is it. And then we go on the Vipassana and we have this idea of where we're going to get to. And it's the walking into the place. It's the, they used to make me put my head in the ice bucket. I kept falling asleep. It's not about you staying awake for the thing. It's the actual walking and putting your head in the ice bucket and then walking back. It's what's happening. Not what you think is going to happen. That will never work. That will just lead to more activity. Well, that will just lead to more imagining. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I'm not saying don't do it or do it.
For me, it was like just a huge relief, because like this message says, I don't have to, like, you know, Vipassana says fill up the 10 paramis, like donation, I don't know, ethics, whatever, and then the three columns, like ethics, samadhi, and wisdom, fill it up, and mutual interdependence of all these paramis and columns, and that's like, very exhausting.
Yeah.
Do many, many, many things. Yeah. And then you're bound to be successful.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You even said it in his voice then.
Yes.
Bound to be successful.
Yeah. Bound to be successful.
Well, that's Goenka, the pastor.
That's Goenka, yeah.
He's got his perfect place in all of this. I really like the Buddha story.
Do you know Hesse?
Sorry?
The version of Hesse, Siddhartha?
Yeah, I've only watched the film, but that's a nice film as well. There's many different stories, but... Maybe we take a break now and open the windows again. Otherwise.